Is your machine ready?
The machine's ready. Daf is Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, we're on the last line of Kuf Lamed Dalet. You see that our president has finally realized that those coffees are costing him more than he could possibly afford. He started bringing in a thermos. You see? Tana Rabbanan, or Lato. When the Torah says, "Ubayom Hashmini Yimol Bisar or Lato," I mean, would we really have thought that maybe Biyom Hashmini we should be mal somebody else's orla? What exactly does his orla mean? Or Lato implies that it's clearly his orla, meaning that or Lato vaday dochet Hashabbat v'lo safek dochet Hashabbat. Where we have some type of safek, and we'll see later on what these issues are, then it would not be docheh Shabbos. Furthermore, or latov vaday docheh Shabbat, v'lo androgen is docheh Shabbat. The dafka is something that has a clear status of an arel zachar, because the orla is not, remember, is a halachic definition. It's not simply an identification of a piece of the body. So we need to define what is an Arel Zachar. We'll see this has some fascinating implications later on. But in any event, if we're not sure because of he's a Safek, or the classic Safek, which we get into all the time, is whether someone is in fact a Ben Shmona. And apparently, if he's not a Ben Shmona, then he doesn't have an Orla. That's the point. Because it hasn't yet been defined as an Orla. So, in which case, if he's a Safek, let's say if it was Neilad Ben Hashmashot, we're not 100% sure whether he was considered to have been born the day before or whether he was born the day after. Then, in either direction, depending when Shabbat came out, we wouldn't be able to be Mechalel Shabbat because it may be in Ozmano. Yeah. Furthermore, we have other cases as well, but before we go on, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll see Rabbi Yehuda has a mocker from the Pasuk that an androgynous is not considered to be a safek, and an androgynous is definitely has an orla, would be docheh Shabbat. And if he does not meisir his orla, then as a gadol, of course, his onish would be karet. Furthermore, Orlato vaday docheh Shabbat. V'no lolad ben hashmashot docheh Shabbat, as we mentioned. Orlato vaday docheh Shabbat. V'lo nolad kishohu mahul docheh Shabbat. If we don't see any orla, now there's always the chance that there may be a thin layer of flesh that's attached to the atara that we can't distinguish from the real thing. That's maybe... maybe there's a membrane there that's actually Orla. But as far as we can tell, this child was Nolad Mohul, and there's nothing that's covering the Atara. And therefore, it would not be Docheh Shabbos for us to deal with this problem. What is the problem? What is there to do? Shebet Shammai omrim tzarich latif mimenu dam berit, ubeit Hillel omrim eino tzarich. Because according to Beit Shammai, indeed, you would have to at least be metif dam brit, and we'll see what this is all about. We started talking about it yesterday. Beit Hillel says, no, anyway, you wouldn't have to. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, no, there was never a machloket about that. Lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al shenolad kishuhu mahul shetzarich latif mimenu dam brit. Look, the question over there, says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, is not really the issue of Hatafat Dam Brit, it's a problem of Orla Kevusha. Yutnesha Orla Kevushahi. What we're talking about over there is the question of whether we have to be Chayesh for an Orla that is not really visible. Now, there's many machlokasin about this issue. Because one way of understanding the Gemara, and that seems to be the Poshut way, is that a chashash of Orla Kavusha, where you would have to be Matif Dam Brit, is actually a chashash of needing to be Mesir, this Orla Kavusha. Right? In other words, if you're telling me I'm worried about there being an Orla Kavusha. So first of all, if that's the case, a Kotan who's a Kohen would not be allowed to eat Truma, because it's a chashash, maybe is an Arel. Number one. Number two, what good would it do to be Metiv Dam Brit Biyama? What, to make a little scratch and Metiv Dam Brit? What you'd have to do is you would basically have to scratch the entire Atara to make sure that you're taking off a thin layer of skin, because that layer of skin may be an Orla Kavusha. It doesn't help to simply make a little bit of bleeding somewhere. Well, if there's an Orla Kavusha, then you got a problem. Now, the truth is, we have major machloket in the Rishonim how to learn this. According to the Rambam, a Kotan who is Nolad Mahul is allowed to eat Truma. Period. Doesn't have anything to do with this. Hatafat Dam Brit doesn't give him a din of anything Mahul. And therefore, obviously, he's understanding that Orla Kavusha does not mean that you have to go around and scrape off the entire Atarah. And there are those who learn that an Orla Kavusha is an actual suffix of there being something there, in which case you can't, you need. And that because of that, they talk about needing very serious expertise not to damage a child while scraping and causing some level of irritation and even bleeding over the entire Atara. So that would be a question, I'll leave it around, but what is the meaning then of the Hatafat Dam Brit from an Orla Kavusha?
The Rambam holds without the Hatafat Dam Brit is also a Kohen Kotan?
Yeah. Because that's not ma'akiv in the din of Orla, really, even though he passed into Orla Kavusha. So in other words, there seems to be, not that according to the Rambam, not that there's a true din of Orla on an Orla Kavusha, because of the fact that it's Kavusha and Eino Nira, it means that he's for all intents mobile. This is his Nolet mobile. Except that there's an additional requirement for Hatafat Dam Brit, as we saw yesterday's Rashi brings me Divrei Kabbalah, and from Divrei Nevi'im, At Bedam Britech, Zaref Mitpotzetzet Bedam Mayech, and so on and so forth, Ramazim, to Brit Mila involving Dam. It's not possible to get Dam Stam. You need to get Dam from an act of Brit. And therefore, the Orla Kavusha is Mechayev Dam Brit, the way a regular Mila is Mechayev Dam Brit. The other issue of showing that there's some Dam involved in your Knisa to Mitzvos, let's say that you have somebody who's Mitgayer having actually had a Brit Mila in the hospital. Now, over there we certainly don't have a Chashash of Orla Kavusha. Nonetheless, we may have it in a Hatafat Dam. Hatafat Dam, in that case, why would it have to be Hatafat Dam from the Atara? Who cares where you're making them? If it's just an issue of somehow or other dedicating your phallus, so to speak, what's not kamina, if it's an atara or not an atara, right? So this comes basically to be a major machlokas. And in practical terms, what we end up doing in cases of hatafat dam brit from a ger, where there's no question, where it was already nimo, we can't do hatafat dam brit from an Orla, which doesn't exist, is that for many, many years, I mean, now they started being Machber, for many, many years, they were Metiv above the Atara. Above means towards the body. We view every organ as coming out of the body. So therefore, there would be no union of Atafat Dam Brit from an Orla, Mashenkin by an Orla Kavusha, since there's a semi-din Orla on it, not to be ma'akiv and achilas truma, but at least it's possible to conceive of hatafat dam brit the way you would normally be matif dam brit, so then you would have to be matif dam brit from the Orla. And even among the Akronim, tremendous machlokas, and the Chazanish asers, literally asers, doesn't say it's not yours, it says it's also, you're not allowed to just make sores in people. So it's Chabalah, and it's Baal Tosif. If you make a Hatafat Dam Brit anywhere but the Orla itself. Well, I keep saying, the Orla is, I mean, meaning the Arla, where the Makam Arla would be, meaning the Atara, but you're right, the correct language would be the Atara.
What are you supposed to do?
So according to Halacha Lamaisa, modern day Anhaga, I'll be modern day Pesukim, is to do both.
I was obviously,
you and to ignore the Chazanish's complaints. Yeah, you do Atafas Dambris from above the Orla, and you do it above the Atara, and you do Atafas Dambris from the Atara.
Why above the Atara?
We'll see more about Sugya as we go.
What's
that? Yeah, no, so you just a little, what do you call it, a... one of those blood drawing.
What about people? I was also wondering, what about people who are about Shuvas, come from totally similar background?
The same issue. You do Hadafas Dambris.
We do Hadafas Dambris.
It's a two-second procedure. You know, they sell these little surgical devices that are basically you can't puncture too far because it expands, and you have a little tiny. A part that can penetrate. Okay. So far we have the Tanakhama's explanation of Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel and Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says, Lo nechlekhu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel nolad kishu ma'ul, shetzorech latif mimeno dam brit, mipnei she'ar lakhu shayu. Actually, nobody would argue about someone who did not go through the procedure of Brit Milah. Because the fact that he looks as if he did may simply be because the membrane is very tight around the Atara and will gradually, with time, loosen, and he will be a real Orel. Amanech leku, al gershin itgayer kishuhu mahur. The only machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is where we know for a fact that this person is mahul, because he was already mahul as a goy. Now he's coming to be mitgayer. So over there, Beit Shammai says there is nonetheless a requirement that is connected to the concept of mila, which is tzarich latif bimenu dam brit. Now the question of where this comes from, as I mentioned yesterday, it's not at all clear. The Marsha says that, well, this would only be a drabonim, of course. We don't have any mocker in the Torah for Dam Brit to be the equivalent of Mila. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, you don't even need to be Matif Mimenu Dam Brit, because the concept of Atafat Dam Brit is only from an Orel. And this guy is not an Orel, and therefore there's nothing to do for him in terms of Knisa Lebrit.
I mean, we see by in terms of if you're another from Arelan, it means
that doesn't have anything to do, he's an Oral, it doesn't mean he has an Oral. Let's not confuse the issue. Every Goy is an Arel. Right, but it doesn't mean that he is in possession of an Oral.
Mila is like not Ma'akim.
There is nothing to do Mila on.
No, I'm saying that even if he would be physically an Oral,
he isn't physically an Oral. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
In the case of a Stam Goy who needs a...
He is Ma'ake. If he has an Oral, it is Ma'ake. But if he doesn't have an Oral, he is Ma'ake. Omar Ma'ake. There is question, if you hold it, Tzorech Latif Mimenu Dam Brit, not everybody agrees that it's just an added on thing. So if Tzorech Latif Mimenu Dam Brit, the question is what to do with a Goy that's Megayer as a Zohar who has no penis. There are such questions. Say, had a surgical removal for some reason, cancer or something. So then there's a shayla. So what is shayach to do in terms of the giur? Because if this thing is serious in terms of requirement for giur, Omar. Now let's go back now and see the details. And we'll see that the way that we just presented it is by no means muskan. You say, let's get the beginning. You say lo suffik docheta shabbat, but then you list every suffik. You talked about the guy who was Nolad Ben Hashmashot, right? You talked about the androgynist. You talked about every case that I could have thought of you were talking about. What is the additional case that I can't figure out when you say Lo Safek Dochet HaShabbat? Latui Yimai. Ah, very simple. Latui Hadutan Rabbanan. Ben Shiva'a L'chalalin alav et HaShabbat. Now again, remember that Ben Shiva'a does not mean a premature infant who has only had a 7-month gestation. It means a fully mature fetus of a 7th month gestation, which was the common, I'm not sure what it's common belief or common reality at the time, but it certainly occurs in all ancient writings. It's taken for granted that there are 2 sets of human gestation, one that takes 9 months, one that takes 7 months, and that a 7th month is the full equivalent of a 9-month infant fetus. So a Ben Shiva is assumed to be a completely formed fetus, and at birth is now a viable infant. And therefore, you're mechalalin alav et HaShabbat. Ben Shmona ain mechalalin alav et HaShabbat. Ma she'ein ken, if it's a Ben Shmona, why would there's no mitzvah of Mila? Because a Ben Shmona is clearly premature and has, in those times, no chances of survival, and therefore there's no mitzvah of Mila on it. So, Memela, why would you be Mechal of Shabbos for him? Suffik ben Shiva, Suffik ben Shmona, ain Mechal in Mechal Shabbat. And if it's a Safek, and this is what Arlatova Dai means, if it's a Safek, ain Mechal in Mechal Shabbat. Now, Tosfos suggests that this is not really what we need the Pasuk for, because why would we need a Pasuk to tell me that Mitzada Suffik and not Mechal Shabbat? The Pasuk part would only be coming on things that we may not know without the Pasuk, maybe androgynous. But these other uses, which are serious sveikot, with or without a Pasuk, we know that mitzad ha-safek we won't do chilul Shabbat. So there doesn't need to be any kind of question about that. All right, so when you mentioned that mitzad ha-safek, and then you mentioned separately the other sveikot, you meant to add a case where we're not sure whether the infant is full term or not. Fine. How about Ben Shmona? Let's take a look also about other dinim. This Ben Shmona, Bichlal, Ariu Ke'evin, Basula Taltalo, for all intents and purposes, a Ben Shmona is dead. Aval Imo Shocheu Meinikar, obviously this doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh in any way. However, his mother is allowed to use him as a milking machine, even though he's not a live human. But because of the fact that excess milk may well lead to a breast infection, so she can relieve the engorgement through the use of the child. Itma, Rav Amar Halacha Ketana Kama, Ushmul Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. So far, assuming that the Machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is as we understood it, we had 2 options. One is, the way the Tana Kama learns, it's a question of a Tinok, who is Nolad Mohel. Does he need Hatafat Dambrit, or does he not? Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar said, obviously, a Nolad Shu Mohel, everybody agrees that he requires Hatafat Dambrit. The Machloket is only in terms of a Ger, where he actually was Mohel. There, Beit Hillel would say, what's the point of Dambrit if he already had a Brit Milah, except it wasn't really a Brit, it was just a circumcision. So Rav Amar Halacha Ketana Kama, Rav says the Halacha is like the Tana Kama, not like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And therefore, Beit Hillel is saying that a Jewish child who is nolad mohel ain otzar. And that would be the halacha. That there would be no need to be metiv dambrit from a child that doesn't have an orla. Whereas Shmuel amar halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Shmuel says, no, we pass Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that of course, if it's a Jewish child, he does require hatafat dambrit. The only thing is that a guy who was actually mohel, not Nolat Kishu Mahul, he doesn't require, according to Beit Hillel, like a Rewood basket, doesn't require a Tafat Dambrit.
Based on this, what you make a brick, make a bracha,
wait until we finish this. So Rav Ada Bar Ava actually had a child born to him, Yavid Le'ahu Yenuka Kishu Mahul. He had a child born who was apparently Mahul, and he went a hadri atleisa muloi. He went around to find 13 different males that would be able. Now, here it's clearly mashma, 13 different. Remember, Rashi said before 13 is always an exaggeration. It's 13. It's a pile of males. But he looked around for a male who would be able to be mesir the chashash of an orla kvusha, which would mean that he needed to find somebody, apparently, who was ready to scrape the atara in such a way that it would remove any possible orla that was attached to the skin. And he had all these different guys trying it out, ad shavik ruchav chan, until he destroyed his child's phallus. Omar, basically, I deserve it. The avri ad rav, because I was over on Rav's psak. After all, Rav said that we paskin like the Tanakhama. According to Tanakhama, Beit Hillel said, nolachu mahu, eno tzarich hatafat dam brit. So what did I have to drive this kid crazy for and try to find a male who could be made to dam brit? It wasn't necessary, Bechlal. This is my punishment.
What makes any type?
Lechora.
Rashi says the 13 Mo'alim would not do it at all, because they didn't want to call Shabbat. He himself did it.
Okay. However, it depends again on the issue over here. If the problem is that the, as I said, mentioned earlier, that Arla Kvusha, the way the Meiri learns, along with many Rishonim, that he's basing himself on, is a real chashash of removal, so then the problem is that you have to scrape the Atara. That's the issue. You can't just make a little scrape somewhere in one place and have Atafat Dam Brit. How is that going to help you for an Arla Kvusha? According to the Rambam, then the only issue would be that they held, you don't have to. Why should we do it? So he went and did it himself without expertise. Because according to that approach, Hatafat Dam Brit on an Orla Kvusha is no different than Hatafat Dam Brit. Always, it means making a little scratch. Or using one of these surgical devices. Fine. So if the problem over, we'll see in a moment that the problem over here essentially was Chil Shabbos, not just the fact as to whether he did it or not. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what the Taina that Rosh Mord Nachman now says to him. Omar Lei, Nachman, what are you talking about? You think that you went against Rav, you didn't go against Shmuel, you went against everybody. Who ever discussed doing this on Shabbos? Even if you hold like Shmuel, and Shmuel Paskins like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and that an Eilat Shmuel does require Hatafat Dam Brit. Did somebody say you need to do Hatafat Dam Brit on Shabbos? What, it's considered to be the equivalent of Mila? Ema Yomer Shmuel Bechol? B'Shabbat Miyamah? Did Shmuel ever say to be Mechalel Shabbat Aliba de Beit Hillel for a Nolat Shmuel? So you were over on everybody, Shita. Don't blame yourself for not passing like Rav. Why, in fact, did he do that? Because it turns out that there is a sub-machlokes about how to learn this machlokes. The Husavar Vadai Orla Kavushahi. He goes according to the Mandi Omar, who says that no, there's definitely an Orla Kavusha. If there's definitely an Orla Kavusha, I have to get rid of it even on Shabbos, because he gives it a din of Mila. Diitma. Rab Amar Chayshin on Shema Orla Kavushahi. Rav Yosef Amar Vadai Orla Kavushahi. When we said over here that you require on a Nolad Mahul Hatafat Dam Brit, says Rav Yosef, it's because we always say that an untouched Atara has an Orla. So the upper layer of skin is essentially the membrane that is found normally to be apparent. I mean, it's not apparent. And it's Vadai and Orla Kavusha. And I'll prove it to you, said Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you know, I mean Allah. Want me to prove it to you? The Machlokas that we had earlier between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar as to what was the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar says, now wait a minute, there's a different way to understand Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Lo nechlaku Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel al nolat kishuhu ma'ul she tzorich latif mimenu dam brit. Of course they agree you need Atafat Amrit. Al manech leku lechalel alav et haShabbat. Now, gentlemen, I know it's a little bit complicated because we have basically four different machlokas in over here, each of which is dependent in the other. So let's just review it in order not to get confused over here. Let's review the machloket among the first generation of Tanaim, the machloket among later generations of Tanaim, and the machlokas achronim, not achronim, but amoraim, about what the machlokas was among the original Tanaim. The original Tanaim that we're referring to over here is Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. All that we know about is that there is a case where someone does not have an apparent Orla, and there's a machloket in which Beit Shammai says you need to be Meitiv Damrit where there's no Orla, and Beit Hillel says you do not need to be Meitiv Damrit when there's no Orla. There's a machloket here in our sugya between an unnamed Tanakama and between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The unnamed Tanakama held that the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is as regards a child that's born with what appears to be no Orla. And therefore they have a machloket as to whether one needs to be chayish, that maybe something's there and we just don't see it, and the membrane that's always there, we have a membrane. Remember that Brit Milah consists of two things that we do. We separate, we cut off the skin that surrounds the atara, which is basically the equivalent of an animal's penis sheath that is a protection for the sensitive area. And then we also, underneath that skin, and that skin is a continuation of the shaft of the penis, it goes up and is an extension. It can be peeled off, but it'll just pop up again. So that we cut that. But there is also a membrane that protects the atara that extends above the shaft. And that is removed after we cut the orla. And that's usually simply peeled back. You peel it back with your well, nowadays, because the male are not as expert as they once were. They do this horrific thing in which they separate. I'm sure you've also, they take this little poker device. They peel the membrane off of the atara so that they can lift it up and cut it the same time that they're cutting the skin of the atara, because they're afraid that they're going to lose their, because of the blood, it becomes very slippery, and they're going to not be able to pull off the membrane, which is the priya, what we call the ora priya. So nowadays they do this poking thing beforehand, which is why the child cries before the bris. Generally, the bris itself is not painful. It drives me crazy. Hey, so the experts, Baalim, would never do such a thing. They do a standard milah. Rather, nowadays, there's kimat nobody left who does a real priya. They do a standard milah, and then they grab the or hapriya, they grab that membrane, which always sticks up a little bit, and peel it down. Once it's pulled down, and you put a bandage on it, it simply dries up, withers, goes away. There's nothing left of it. But the thing is that membrane may be attached strongly to the atara. It appears to be actually part of the atara. We don't notice that it has a place where you can grab it and pull it. This case of an Orla Kavusha is the ultimate such case, which we literally can't figure out what happened. The child is born with what appears to be no evidence of need for a bris milah. So, okay, so the Tanakhama says that's the machlokas. According to Beis Hillel, we definitely do not have to worry about such a thing at all. According to Beit Shammai, we need to do dambrit. And we don't worry about all those kvushas at all. There's just a question about tafat dambrit. Comes on Reb Shimon ben Elazar and says, no way, you're getting completely confused. The machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was not about the Orla Kvusha case. Over there, Beit Hillel would agree, how do you know that you don't have a real Orla over here somewhere? The case that they were arguing in is where I know that the Orla was removed. A goy had a brit done as a goy. He's coming out to be Magayer. There's a question whether there's this new idea of Atafat Dam Brit, which Beit Hillel says, no, there's not, and it's only the question of Hasarata Orla, where I said, yeah, over there you have to do something. certainly not for a person that we know had a brit milah. Fine. So there we have a machloket Tanakama Reb Shimon ben Elazar about whether the machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is as regards the chashash of an orla kvusha, or was as regards a case in which there's only a shayla about the fatam brit. Okay. Now we have a further machlokas, and our further machlokas here is between, this is a machlokas amoroim, between Reb Yosef that we just had and Rava. Rava said that according to those shitas that held that we have to be chayish for an orla kvusha, then that chashash would be a suffix. Maybe there's an orla kvusha. In which case, if you hold like Beit Shammai, or if you hold like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that Beit Hillel agrees that there's a case of orla kvusha, you'd have to be mechal Shabbos for it, because it's a vadai. Reb Yosef says, no, it's a safek. So even if you're going to be chayish for an orla kvusha, you certainly will not be mechal Shabbat. So far, three machlokas. Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, machlokas Tanakam Reb Shimon ben Elazar, in what the machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was, machlokas Rabba and Reb Yosef about what the meaning is in the statement of Reb Shimon ben Elazar that we're chayish for an orla kvusha. Now we're about to introduce yet one more variation, and that is Reb Yosef says, "I'll prove to you that those who talk about an orla kvusha are talking about a vadai, not a suffolk orla kvusha." Because think for a moment about the alternative approach, which is Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar, who also argues on the original unnamed Tanakama, who reported there's a machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about a katan shenolad mavul. And note that Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, says the Tanakama is wrong, but not the way you think he's wrong. The Tanakama is wrong because Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai never argued about Nola Chul Mahul that requires Atafat Dambrit. The only machloket was in terms of Chilul Shabbat. That Beit Shammai held Sorech Latif Meno Dabrit, meaning even on Shabbos, Sembechalalin Lavat HaShabbat, but Beit Hillel Omrim, when Beit Hillel said, no, you don't need Atafat Dambrit, he meant you don't do Hatafat Dam Brit on Shabbat, but you certainly do Hatafat Dam Brit b'chol. Now, if that's what Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar holds, so tell me, sir, what does the Tanakama who argues Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar hold? What does the Tanakama, the unnamed Tanakama, originally reported the Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that it's referring to a Kotan that's Nolad Mohol, what does he hold? Is it not clear that the Tanakama holds that for sure we're talking about Mechalalina Lavat HaShabbat? So when you tell me that it's only a suffix, I'm showing you that everybody would agree that you would be Mechalal Shabbos if you hold that there's an Orla Kvusha. Wait a minute, says Rabbi, I don't get that at all. Maybe the Tanakama says just the opposite. Maybe the Tanakama holds nobody would say you're Mechalal Shabbos. And there's a machlokas about whether b'chol you need to do atafat dambrit. Where'd you get that from? But because Reb Elazar HaKafar says that no, they're arguing about Chilul Shabbos, therefore the Tanakama holds vadai. Just the opposite. Maybe the Tanakama holds that even Beit Shammai was mechayev atafat dambrit from a child who's nolad mahul would hold that you certainly are not mechal Shabbos for it. No. Says Rabbi Yosef, of course that isn't what it means. Because then what was Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar coming to tell me? You say that everybody agrees you're not Mechal Shabbos. I say that Beit Shammai, who holds that you Tzorech L'Hatif Mimenu Dam Brit, holds you do have to be Mechal Shabbos. You're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar is coming to tell me what Beit Shammai's opinion was on Shabbos, even though that opinion has no halachic application whatsoever, because Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, B'makom Beit Hillel, Eino Mishnah. Does that make sense? that Reb Eliezer, the only point that he's making is in terms of Beit Shammai. No implications at all for Beit Hillel. No, I don't believe that that makes sense. I believe that the whole point that he's making is that, of course, although Beit Shammai held you would be Mechalel Shabbat, Beit Hillel would say you would not be Mechalel Shabbat. That's the point. So in other words, those who hold that there is actually an issue of Orla Kavusha, so that would mean that you certainly have to be Bechol, and that if there is an Orla Kavusha, then even in Shabbos. So you see, says Rabbi Yosef, the Orla Kavusha issue is not a suffix. It's a vada. That's the point. Says the Gemara, Kain Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar, time of the Beit Shammai, Ayati Lashmina. No, not necessarily. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer HaKafar is simply saying this. Lo nechlaku Beit Shammai u'Beit Hillel b'davar zeh. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer may be turning to the Tanakhama and saying, look, everybody holds on Shabbos, you're not Mechal on Shabbos. The Machlokus was only Bechol. In other words, Beit Hillel holds that you don't even need Atafat, Dambrit, and so on. Yet you're claiming, I'm claiming there's no such Machlokus. You, Tanakhama, are claiming there exists a Machlokus about Bechol. I'm saying there does not exist such a Machlokus. You made it up. Vadai, you need to do Hatafat Dambrit. That's all I'm saying. In which case, I'm going to tell you that what the din is a limit of Beit Hillel. Because you were saying Beit Hillel says you don't need Hatafat Dambrit at all. I'm telling you, no, they were arguing about Shabbos. And Beit Hillel holds, Bechol, you do need Hatafat Dambrit. So what I'm coming to argue about is not Beit Shammai, it's Beit Hillel. That's the point. In which case, this has no implications, legabe, whether it's vadai or suffik, in terms of Orla Kavusha. Omer Rabasi, kol she'imo tmeya leida, nima l'shmona. It's a fascinating halacha. Since it says in the Torah, it begins by saying, talks about the entire Isha ki tazriya, v'yalta zachar, v'tamashivat yamim, and then it says, after Vitamat Shivat Yamim Kimendi Dat Votatit Ma, it continues on to say, Ubayom Ashmini Yimo Besar Arlato. Why does it put the dinim of Vayom Ashmini Yimo Besar Arlato together with Tumat Leida? Because if there's no Tumat Leida, there's no dinim. Vayom Ashmini Yimo Besar Arlato. Unbelievable. And therefore, if the mother is not Tamei Leida, there's no din of Mila B'Shmini. There's just a din of Mila. So, if let's say that the child was delivered by Caesarean, then the Brit would be on that day. Because there's no halakha of Yom Shemini at all.
Is it? Caesarean, she's not Tamei Leida?
No.
Don't you wait to see if the baby's going to be there?
This is what Rabasi says. Shenema Ishak Yitazriya Ve'yalda Zacharu Tumeya Ubayom Hashmini Yimo B'sar Lato. Omale Abayas, Abayas said to him, I don't understand. You ever read the Bible? I mean, the Bible was written before they had Tumas Leida. I mean, Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, all of them, they didn't have Tumas Leida in those days. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ubayom Hashmini, whole big deal. And you're claiming, nah, it's all dependent in Tumas Leida, which was a concept that didn't exist. Well, what are you talking about? Dorot HaRishonim Yochichu. She'in imot me'alei davin imo lishmona. Omarei, yes, those were in the old days. But nitnat Torah v'nitchatsha halacha. Once the Torah was given, everything changed. The old time Mila is no longer good. And now Mila became defined as being part of the din of Tumat Leida, and then there's a different halacha of Asarat Orla, and then Asarat Orla, that's a chiyuv immediately if there's no normal din of Mila that comes after Tumas Leida of Shivas Yamim.
Shiva Achat, he says, Rashi is born as a rabbi friend of God, but there was Rishonim, Managut Tuma. We know by Sarah Imeno, Nimai Isabi, because she was saw her period in that day. He said, in the last time, sometimes some that's done needles.
No, it doesn't mean that. Of course that was Damnida, she hadn't had a baby, but that isn't the point. The point is, even if somebody wanted to be machmir on himself and create it 2 months later, there was no din of 2 months later. Mila was not given in the context of a din of 2 months later. Hello? Yeah. Earth calling.
I understand.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Avram that all of the women in your family should be tamei for 7 days after they give birth. On the eighth day, they should make a brit milah, correct?
Right.
If somebody would like to be tamei for 7 days, it's perfectly welcome to be tamei for 7 days. But I'm not telling you anything about tumah.
She
wanted it to be noyeg tumas nides, because Avram Avinu was shemer kol atera kula before it was given. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the mitzvah, he certainly didn't make it totally on an issue that he never had spoken about. It's only after the Torah is given that these things become objective realities as opposed to things that you wish to take upon yourself because you believe that they lead to improvement of the soul. Right? There's many African tribes that are Naik Tumas Nida also. Much more machmer. They have separate homes for women who are menstruating. But you're certainly not going to say that they have a halach of nida, right? Okay. So this is before the Torah. The mitzvah couldn't have been dependent on a halach that didn't exist at the time. Asks now, but you claim that it's dependent on the din of Tumas Leda. I'll ask you for the following. Haini, is that true? If you have a child that was born by cesarean section, or hey, that's convenient, a nice foot to step on.
What?
How convenient,
the step,
a place to step on.
Oh,
for me. So someone who was born by Caesarean, or someone who has two arelot, which might be one on top of the other, or he might have two phalluses. So it's a machlokes. Ravuna Rebchia Bar Rav, Chad Omer Bechalina Lavada Shabbat, V'Chad Amar Ein Bechalalin. I can think of some new things we could send out on the internet, huh? Unbelievable. Yeah. So Ein Mechalalin. So Ad Kan Lo Pligiel Lechalel Lavada Shabbat. Excuse me, sir. But it seems to be the machlokes with Ravuna Rebchia Bar Rav is whether a Caesarean section should be Mechalal Shabbos or not. However, there was no question over here whether you needed to have Mila L'Shmini. I mean, they're arguing if the Yom HaShmini comes out on Shabbos, whether you're Mechalal Shabbos. That's the machlokes. Abu B'Shmini, Vadai, Mahalinan. You certainly would do a Brit Mila on Yom HaShmini. So what are you trying to tell me? Any mot mea leda. I don't know, where do you get that from? Says Rabasi, you don't understand, Abaye. How about Talia? The machlokas in the two issues are interdependent. If you hold that the din of Chilul Shabbos is chal on this guy, it's because you hold that there's Mila B'Shmini. Because it's Mila B'Shmini that's Docha Shabbos. But if there's no Mila B'Shmini, the man the Yomer holds ain't a Docha Shabbos, it's because he holds that there's no din of Mila on Shabbos, of Mila B'Shmini. Because how do we learn out Chilul Shabbos? Ubayom HaShmini Afilo B'Shabbos. So if there's no Yom HaShmini, then there's no Afilo B'Shabbos. So the two issues are completely interdependent. What are you asking me? That's good for the machlokas. If you hold there's no Chilul Shabbos, you hold there's no Yom Shmini. It's as simple as that. So how about I'll tell you? The truth is, Kitanoi, this statement of Rabasi, that Mila is dependent in Tumat Leida is actually a Machlokas Tanoim. And here is the Machlokas Tanoim. We have two different sukkim. Let's try to be mitorer a bit over here so that it doesn't take too much out of me. Do me a favor. This is a difficult daf. My voice is rapidly disappearing. I have to daven for the tzibur and Rosh Hashanah. Help me. Please, help. Remember that Brit Milah is a chiyuv not only on one's own child, but is a chiyuv on a child that one owns. So that if you purchase a child, you have to, if it's a male, you have to give it a Brit Milah. Furthermore, if you own a female who gives birth to a child in your ownership, then you would have to give that child a Brit Milah. We have two references to that, and they are called Yelid Bayit, Miknat Kesef, and Yelid Bayit. Miknat Kesef is when you buy a child. Yelid Bayit is when a child is born into your rishut. It's not quite clear from the Pasuk when that chiyuv is. The reason it's not clear is because there are two psukim that talk about the din of Miknat Bayit and Yelid Beitcha Miknat Kesef. One has Himo Yemo Yelid Beitcha or Miknat Kaspecha without a mentioning of Shmona Yomim at all. So it's mashmar, if you go out to the slave market, you buy yourself a just born infant and it's male, you have to give him Brit Milah. No din of Yom HaShemini. On the other hand, when Avram Avinu is told that Kol, every, the Ben Shmonat Yamin, Yimo, Kol Zachar, he says over there, the Dorot Echem, and then continues on, Yelid Beit Chav Miknat Kaspecha, the implications are, that there it says Yelid Beit Miknat Kesef, immediately after saying Yom HaShemini, the implications are that it's a din in Yom HaShemini. Therefore, we conclude that there are two cases in each of these two cases. There's a Yelid Bayit that would be Nimo immediately, according to the Pasuk that doesn't mention Yom Shemini, and there would be a Yelid Bayit that's Nimo Lishmaya. There's a Miknat Kesev that would be Chal immediately, and there's a Miknat Kesev that would be Nimo Lishmona. What would those four cases be? So now, the Gemara wants to assert that the different approaches to what those cases are reflects the question of whether there is a din of dependency of Brit Milah on Tumat Leida. And therefore this would be a Machloket Tanaim that would revolve around the issue that Reb Asi was the first to raise to us openly, which is there a relationship between is there a relationship between the two? So let's take a look now at what the case would be. Yesh yelid bayit shenimo le'echad, v'yesh yelid bayit shenimo le'shmona. Yesh miknat kesef shenimo le'echad, v'yesh miknat kesef shenimo le'shmona. Here are the four cases. Now let me explain it to you. Yesh miknat kesef shenimo le'echad, v'yesh miknat kesef shenimo le'shmona keitzad. What do I mean when I say there are two options for Mila on a Miknat Kesef? Here's the case. Lakach Shivcha Mi'uberet. You go ahead and you purchase a pregnant Shivcha. V'achakach Yalda. And then the Shivcha gives birth in your home. Surprisingly, this is not considered to be a case of Yelid Bayit, because you already bought the fetus when you bought the mother, because she was already pregnant. And therefore, this is called a Miknat Kesef. In this case, the Miknat Kesef would be Nimol Lishmona, because of the fact that the child was born to you, therefore it would still be Nimol Lishmona, because it's similar to your own. You also have a case where you purchase separately a Shivcha and an infant with the Shivcha, and this infant was born today, but it's no longer similar to a child born to you. Zohi mikdat kesef shenimol le'echad. In that case, you take the baby home from the market and you do a brit milah. Now, there's also yesh yelid bayit shenimol le'shmona. What's the case of a yelid bayit that goes on the eighth day? Very simple. You buy a shivcha. Now this shivcha gets pregnant in your home and has a baby, v'yolda. So that's a yelid bayit animol l'shmona. We still don't know what the case is of a yelid bayit that is nimol le'echad. But at this point, before we get to finding out what the case is, comes along Rav Chama, and he says, no, wait a minute. You left out an important piece of information. Says Rav Chama like this, Yalda v'achakach hitbila. Zeh yelid bayit shenimol le'echad. If the shivcha that you had purchased gave birth not as a Jewess, so you had purchased, remember, the purchasing of a shivcha or an eved does not ipso facto mean that that shivcha or that eved is chayev in mitzvahs and has a din of a Jew. In order to give a halacha of a Jew that is an eved, a Jew that is a shivcha, which is where the dinim of eved and shivcha are spoken about in the Torah, you need to do tevilah on the woman. Over here you didn't do tevilah until after the child was born. If that's the case, then the child is similar to a child that you bought, and it's nimol immediately. Nimol echad, as soon as it's born. But if it be lavach kach yalda, if at the time of the leida, the mother was already a semi-Jewess, in other words, she had been tfula l'shem avdus, then the child is the yelid bayit hanimol lishmona. So what does that tell me? Apparently, the Gemara is asserting, apparently it tells me, that if there would be a din of tumat leida on the shivcha, because she already went to the mikveh, so then her child is nimol lishmona. But if there's no din of tumat leida, because there's a goy and a goya, and a shivcha that is still a goya, does not have a din of tuma at all. Goyim have no din of tuma. So therefore, she's like a typical case where you bought a child. So she would be nimol le'echad, even though she had become pregnant in your rishos, and you had bought her as a shivcha, you never took her to the mikveh. Since you never took her to the mikveh, she didn't have tumas leida. Didn't have tumas leida. No chiev of mikvah, of mila on shmini. There's only this mila immediately. Okay. Since the Tanakhama disagrees with Rav Chama, and since the Tanakhama holds that it's irrelevant if we took her to the mikvah or not, apparently the Tanakhama doesn't see any linkage between brit mila lishmini and the din of tumat leida. But that's exactly the machlokas between Rav Asi and Abaye and our Gemara, is it not? Rav Asi said there's a linkage. It says Shivat Yamim, she should be Tmeyah, Kimeini Dat Vota, Ubayoma Shmini Yimo Besar Vato. That's what Rav Asi said. That's what Rav Chama says. Abaye said, what does one have to do with another? That's what the Tanakhama said. What does one have to do with the other? Meanwhile, however, you'll notice that we never said what the case is according to the Tanakhama, where it would be nilo le'echad, even though it was born in your rishos. Because if it's irrelevant when you did the tefillah, so then what's the case of a woman who gets pregnant and gives birth in your rishot? What would be the case where it would be nimo on the first day? There's only one case according to the Tanakhama. You said there were two options in the case of a Yelid Beitcha. So again, let's please take a look at this sugya inside. Reb Chama Omer, Yalda v'yachar kachit bila zeh Yelid Bayit Shinim Ole Echad. it bilav achar kach yalda zehu yelid bayit animol shmona. But the Tana Kama lo shani lei ben itvilav achar kach yalda ben yalda veachar kach itvilav. Mashen ken, according to the Tana Kama, where it makes no difference whether we had taken her to the mikvah or not, clearly holds the afagav de ein imo tmeya leida animol shmona. So according to the Tana Kama, apparently there's no connection between the concept of Mila Bishmini and the din of Tum'at Lida. So this is the Machloket Tanoim that we were referring to. Gentlemen, I have a strong desire to end the daf here because I feel that I'm talking to the wall.
Break the coat now.
And I think that maybe it would be worthwhile for you to do, either you to do a review, which of course would be
always
a good idea, or for you to come in fresh and bright tomorrow morning, and I do a brief review of the sugya that we had until now, so that it would be meaningful to continue. I don't somehow feel that it is meaningful to continue this stuff at this time. But what we could do is we could do a little vaudeville, maybe.
Up on the table.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things we could try. But, obviously, the Gemara is not one of them. So why don't we continue tomorrow with a fresh look at things?